T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky is he'll be on the call tonight of the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
He's going to be riding around on these riding lawn mowers. What do you these things
bad
are
Bad Boy Mowers.
Bad
I like
Boy
that
Mowers.
Name.
I love it.
I'm pretty fired up for it. Actually, our play-by-play guy is like Midwestern, lives in Minnesota, 13-acre farm guy, so he's like, this is his dream game to call with all these mowers that are available. So it'll be a fun game to be a part of. USF's got some questions around their team. Marshall's really, really, really good. So it'll be fun.
It's a low point spread. So you think, I mean, on paper, it should be a good game. You never know with these games, but you expect it to be close or no?
I expect Marshall to kind of handle the game. You know, USF is a team that was 7-0 and top 25, and then injuries piled up and lost 5 in a row, and their offensive coordinator, Sterling Gilbert, moved on to go be a head coach. So it's like, okay, Justin Burke, their tight ends coach, is calling plays for the first time ever in his life, that which Dustin could probably tell you, that does not bode well for a comfort level. And Marshall's got like 3 or 4 guys that are going to be draft picks in the NFL. Their defense is one of the best in the country, certainly one of the group of 5. So I expect Marshall to be in control of the football game because they're more talented, there's more continuity. And the head coach, Doc Holliday, has never lost a bowl game. So,
hey, and if you, for Browns fans who keep an eye on this game tonight, the receiver for Marshall, Tyree Brady, transfer from Miami, is going to be, I think he's going to be a pretty high draft pick, don't you think, Dan?
Michael Thomas. He reminds me a lot of Michael Thomas of the Saints. Now, I'm not saying, you know, obviously you guys know Ohio State. I'm not saying he's that guy, but long, lean, physical, hands, body control, can kind of bully guys with his frame. So he's going to be – I'd be surprised if he made it out of the top 70 picks in the NFL draft next year.
I did a game last year at NC State. He had like 250 yards receiving. It was ridiculous. So
yeah,
I was like,
player,
I'm surprised he went back to school. But anywho, we move on. And Dan Orlovsky's our guest, of course, ESPN College Football, Get Up, ESPN everything. How impressed have you been with Baker Mayfield this season, Dan?
Probably tough for me to really quantify my impressed level of him. You know, because I was like, I liked Baker coming out of college. I liked a lot of the things that he did. I thought he was a fantastic deep ball thrower and accurate thrower. And I said, there was a caveat, though. I said, for me, for him to go be what he was, you had to transfer some of the Oklahoma game plan, the Oklahoma scheme over. And that really hasn't been the case. And he's exceeded my expectations. He's doing it without that. I'd say like the 3 most impressive things for me are, one, everything that was said about Baker and all the stuff that you loved about him of, okay, the moxie and the swag, if you want to call it, the confidence. You see it play out on the field. And that's just very rare to have that impact as a rookie at that spot like that. Like, I was one of those guys who said, listen, if the greatest thing you do is a competitor is just compete, then you've got to be able to play. And so, but you're watching the stuff that people loved about him, it literally is playing out on the field. The second thing for me would be like, I'm a big believer in like, there's a difference between accuracy and NFL accuracy. And I've said this about Baker. He's got NFL accuracy, meaning it's a 6-inch difference. There's everybody in the NFL quarterback wise is accurate. They're in the NFL. They're top 70 in the world at their job. But those 8, 10, you know, 6, however, those guys that have NFL accuracy, where if the ball has to be on the left shoulder, it's on the left shoulder. It's not on the left breastplate. It's not in the middle of the body. If the ball needs to be put over the right shoulder on a go route, it's dropped over the right shoulder, you know, like from the top of the receiver's head. NFL accuracy. And then the thing that I've really seen over the past couple of weeks after studying tape that has stood out to me is he's smarter than we thought he was. At least for me, he is way smarter than I thought he was in regards to handling the line of scrimmage. What are you doing to me? Here's my answer. His brain and operation at the line of scrimmage has been so impressive to me. and it's much greater than I had expected.
We're talking with former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky, now with ESPN. Dan, all those great things about Baker Mayfield, we're in agreement with you, obviously. His play has been a lot better since Freddie Kitchens took over as OC and Greg Williams took over as head coach. How much credit, if at all, do you give to those guys for his improvements?
No, Freddie Kitchens has done a really good job. You know, after that first week that Freddie called plays, I was like, yeah, I wasn't blown away. I wasn't like, he didn't do that much different. I mean, they just played a little bit better. I'd say the greatest thing that he's done is he's chosen players over plays, and he's given the offense an identity. I love the fact, you know, the great offenses in the NFL right now, they're certainly multiple. And for me, you have to be multiple with your people. Like, okay, who are we? Do we have four or five options? And then you go, who do I want to run my offense through? And really, you can say that Freddie Kitchens, at least when I watch tape, he started to run his offense through the tight end group. I mean, I love the fact that he's gotten into 13 personnel a bunch, and meaning those three tight ends are on the field, because, like, as a defense, when that 13 personnel has trotted onto the field, it's like, okay, well, are we going to treat it as 12 personnel? Because are we going to treat Njoku as a tight end? Are we going to treat him as a receiver? And then when Fells is part of it, it's like, are we going to treat him as a tight end, or are we going to treat him as an offensive lineman? And so he's created these mismatches in both the run game and the pass game. And so they've been able to run a ball a little bit better. And then he's been able to, you know, Dustin will tell you, when you can run these 13 personnel on the field, like defenses, they play a lot of simple coverages because here's a run group. And so you've gotten into a lot of single high safety defenses. It's given Baker one guy to make reads on. It's created mismatches. They've utilized the play action, so Baker's been protected. He's had time in the pocket. And so Freddie's done a nice job of just creating an identity of the football team. And then I love the fact that he's given Baker some information before the snap of moving guys around, getting some favorable matchups. Like we saw the game winner against the Broncos last week was beautiful information before the snap and execution by the team.
Dan Orlovsky is our guest, a former NFL quarterback, now with ESPN. All right, so you're giving Freddie a lot of love there for the formations, the creativity. How much should we look at the job that he and Greg Williams have done and consider them as, like, realistic candidates here?
Well, I would probably choose a Freddie Kitchens reality over a Greg Williams thing. And it's not – I don't know Greg Williams. Personally, I've played against him a little bit. I don't know if you can make that choice. But Freddie Kitchens – like, here's the thing. You probably have a decent understanding of what you're going to get with Greg Williams. There's the beauty of the unknown with Freddie Kitchens still. What is he? Is he the next Mike McCarthy-type guy that's going to go for a decade plus? Is he a Mike Tomlin-type guy that can go? Because you don't know that he's not. And so there's that beauty of that unknown there. It's like, okay, what exactly is he? Because he has done a nice job. I would be blown away if Freddie Kitchens is not, at least in the conversation, certainly in Cleveland. I promise you he's going to get some interviews as a head coach somewhere because of the job that he's done. And everybody right now in the NFL, like they do every year, is looking for that guy, looking for that the guy that right now is offensively driven and has taken a young team and a team that did struggle and a young quarterback and got them to play at a really high and consistent level. So I would assume that Freddie, in my opinion, Freddie's got a significantly greater chance because of the beauty of the unknown. It's almost like that you can say that about quarterbacks sometimes. You know, guys that get a bunch of money because, okay, well, we don't like backups. I remember Matt Schaub played for the Falcons for two games and then signed a huge free agent deal with the Atlanta Falcons because you didn't know he wasn't good. And he ended up having a really good stretch for the Houston Texans. So it's just that beauty of the unknown with Freddie Kitchens that I would assume teams are going to be kind of really interested in.
You know, it's interesting, Dan, that you mentioned Freddie Kitchens as a head coach, because we haven't had any other guests who have mentioned that. And I brought that up as, hey, if John Dorsey, because it's a tricky situation because I don't really believe in Greg Williams as a head coach going forward. And you want to have a coach that you can pair up with Baker, right, for the next 10, 15 years. Even though it doesn't always happen, that should be the goal. And even though Freddie Kitchens has only been a coordinator for a half a season if you believe he's that next great offensive mind, but nobody realized it until now, then yeah, it would be crazy to make him a head coach, but not a lot of people have said it. So would it be too tough for him to make that jump from really never being a coordinator to all the way to head coach?
No, not at all. The caveat is, who does he bring with him, right? I mean, here's the thing. Two examples that I can give you are, one, the Rams 2 years ago hired Sean McVay. In their minds, and I know this because it's been shared with me, they hired Sean McVay a year early because they loved him, and everyone told, he's a year away. Everyone told the Rams he was a year away from being a head coach, and the Rams were like, wait, everyone thinks he's going to be really good for the next 10 years or 15 years or 20, but they think he's a year, well, fine, we'll be a year early. You know, that's fine. And so they hire him a year early because of the, I don't know, we love him. There's a lot of traits, and he's done a good job in that role. Let's roll the dice a little bit type thing. And then Matt Nagy. Everyone kind of thought Matt Nagy, who was a play caller for a very short period of time and had some training against under a good head coach, but everyone, Matt Nagy was not this long-term play-calling offensive coordinator either. And, you know, right. Chicago, in a way, said, we like this guy. Maybe we hire him a little early. I mean, it's the reverse Patriots. The Patriots are notorious for getting rid of players a year early. Coaches, why not, if you're looking for a head coach, why not hire a year early? Like, you know, don't pass up. Don't miss out on the guy that could be the next Mike Tomlin or could be the next Mike McCarthy, because some people, or there might be the narrative that you might be hiring them a year early. Get them while you can.
It's a great point, Dan. And even though, as you say, like Matt Nagy and Sean McVay were not coordinators very long. I think McVay 3 years and Nagy 2 years, which is longer than Freddie Kitchens. But Freddie Kitchens has been in the NFL longer than McVay and Nagy.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you're talking about, you know, what those guys did great as well is what has afforded them some of the successes as head coaches. Sean McVay had Wade Phillips. Matt Nagy had Vic Fangio. So does Freddie Kitchens, who's, like you had mentioned, a guy that's been in the NFL, does he have those relationships where he can bring somebody in as a defensive coordinator that maybe has been around the NFL for a long time that he can rely on to, in a way, pseudo be a head coach alongside him as well, you know, so he can continue to focus on the things that he is good at while he almost massages his way into that role. So that's, for me, like, if he's got those relationships and there's a guy that you know he's got in his pocket that he can bring along with him, man, like, why not give him the opportunity to sit down and interview for that head coaching job?
Dan, we're talking with Dan Orlovsky as our guest, ESPN College Football, ESPN Everything. Next year, we believe the Browns will take that step. Not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl like next year, but I think they're competing for the division. I think they're competing for potentially double-digit wins and a playoff spot. What say you?
Oh, I remember being on Get Up. Gosh, it might have been after the Oakland game this year. And I said, dude, I'm telling you, the Cleveland Browns are coming. And here's my thing. And I posted this on Twitter, and I'd imagine that one of you guys might have seen it or whatnot. If you're a Browns fan, like, what are you more fired up for? The fact that you've got Baker and looks certainly to be the guy in the future, or the general manager? I mean, dude, the John Dorsey's last three drafts, you can put up with anybody's in the NFL. I mean, his last three drafts, he's drafted Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, yeah, Kareem Hunt, Baker Mayfield, Denzel Ward, Nick Chubb. Like,
amazing.
If they hit on the draft like they have over his last three and get another piece or two, man, this team, because you go look at the team and you go, okay, they got a quarterback, they got a run game, they got a good offensive line, they've got a good receiver, they've got a good tight end, they got a good defensive front, they got linebackers, they got a back end. Where's the flaw?
Still got a ton of cap space too, and a lot of draft picks. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're looking at a team that, you know, if there wasn't a general manager there, then I'd go, well, let's see what happens with the draft. But we can only go on empirical data. We can only go on the data that we have of the past. And if John Dorsey puts together another draft like he's done, and maybe another pick or play free agent like he's done, and don't forget, and I said this to you guys, I believe, in the summer, and I'm sure someone else, one of his best things he did this year is Drew Stanton. One of the best things he did this year was Drew Stanton.
How about, no doubt, having him here. How about turning Danny Shelton into a third-round pick, turning DeShone Kizer into Demaryius Randle, got a draft pick for Josh Gordon, a fourth-round pick for Carlos Hyde, got Jarvis Landry for a fourth-round pick. It's been a pretty good year for him.
Yeah, and, you know? And Demaryius Randle was a guy in Green Bay. Trust me, we played against them.
Yeah.
And I was like, he is not any good. I mean, as a corner, when he was playing corner there, we were like, wait, we would just go after him. As a safety, he's been very good.
Yeah. That's been great. Dan, great insight from you as always, man. We appreciate it. Thanks. Happy holidays.
You guys. Have a good night.
You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.